It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security.
Welcome, everyone. This is Colonel Rhett John, Colonel Rhett John on the National Security Hour for America Out Loud News Network. And I just have an absolutely incredible special guest. So it's Craig Sawyer, SEAL, just American, just great American all around. It's an honor to have him on the show. Craig, thank you so much for coming on. And I'm just so honored to have you on the show here.
Well, thank you for having me on and giving me a voice and a chance to share what I think is so needed by so many people out there. So it's a privilege, sir.
Well, thank you, Craig. I like first-time guests to kind of give the long story about how did you become Craig Sawyer, your journey from where you started to where you're at today. So take it away, Craig. Please let us know.
Well, I want to start by saying what my wife calls us after having engaged with a few different types of predators in the last 20 years. And I mean, financial predators, child predators, and so forth, as she's called us, right fighters. And she goes, you know, that's what we are. We're right fighters. And I'm like, wow, I like that. Knowing what we've done. So from the beginning, I'll just say I was raised in Southern Texas by a strong pastor, a man of God, and a woman of the same. That my mom was right there by his side. They were married for 60 years. And just like newlyweds, lovers, and we were great, raised in a loving home. And I was surrounded by people that loved Jesus Christ, loved our Creator. And I watched a lot of people giving to each other. And it was a very strong cultural environment. And in Southern Texas, you know, football was everything. I was always out riding dirt bikes, and we were hunting and fishing and, you know, trapping and playing down by the river and playing army and Cowboys and Indians and all that kind of stuff. And I was into sports and, you know, motocross. I loved dirt bikes and all that sort of thing. So it was a very outdoor, rough childhood, but, you know, masculine kind of a thing. So my big brother beat on me a lot. We played rough, but he loved me, but he toughened me. And I know that now, looking back, it really kind of, that's what kind of geared my psyche to being an overcomer and being someone who just found an extra gear, if you will, against resistance. My brother would hold me down and he would, you know, lovingly, but, you know, like big brothers do, you know, beat on me and make fun of me. And I would get really, really angry. And I would find this extra level of determination. And I really do give him credit for helping develop that in me, because I think that's the level of determination that we have to have in this world when we really want to overcome something and not just give it a half-hearted effort and then stop if it the first time you don't succeed. And so football was a big deal to me. I ended up being the defensive captain of a 5A high school football team and just really loved being a linebacker and a hard hitter. And I was fighting martial arts tournaments and boxing. And then, man, the job that I'd gone into in Texas was it was a good job. It was a job that a lot of men had in a pipe fitters union. It was a lifetime job for them. The oil field kind of emptied out as a oil depression hit there in Houston. And I went off to go into the Marine Corps. And then I liked it. I wanted to go into Force Recon. They weren't doing anything with Force Recon then. So I decided to get out and go into the Navy to become a Navy SEAL, because everybody was telling me when I was in the Marine Corps, well, if you really wanted to go operate, you should have gone on the SEAL teams because they have all the budget and the missions and all the toys and everything. So I did. I got all the way out of the Marine Corps and all the way over to the Navy, and people said it couldn't be done. So I did it anyway. And then I got to SEAL Team 1 and really loved that. Got Combat Action, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, became a Navy SEAL sniper and sniper instructor. And after a Combat Action, I got picked up for what they call SEAL Team 6, and recruited for that higher tier one level and operated there for the rest of my Navy career. And I don't talk about what went on there, but I'll just say it's it was a huge challenge and a strong brotherhood of warriors and patriots who love our country, who they're heroes. And I was just so honored to be one of them. And so then when my wife started having babies, or we started having babies, she's like, we got baby on board. I'm like, okay, well, that changes things, because I'm gone 300 days a year as a SEAL at this level. And although I loved the work, I realized that I needed to be home more if we were going to have kids and I was going to be a good father like I had. So I got out, went into federal law enforcement and air marshal service, and then 9/11 hit. And then I went out to stand up the Las Vegas field office and ended up with 210 agents to manage there. And that was going great for 2 years. We had the highest morale in the country, highest qualification scores, and our agents were doing great. And then, someone decided to bring a guy from the top of the FBI and put him into our field office as the SAC, the chief officer there, the highest ranking officer of that field office. And his personality was such that he demoralized everyone in that field office. And out of 210 agents, it quickly emptied down to about 30 something. Through no intentional downsides, but he just demoralized and destabilized that field office with his presence, his negativity, his toxic mind, and his culture of corruption. And so while he was targeting my best agents, I reported him. And there were five different entities that should have intervened on my behalf as a national security whistleblower, all of whom betrayed me and failed me. And later he was fired for gross mismanagement and retaliation, but not until he was allowed to basically utilize his wife's FBI agents, because she was SAC of the Las Vegas FBI field office at the time. So he was using her agents to do close overt surveillance on my wife and use terror tactics against my family until I pitched in my resignation to extract my family from that toxic and hostile environment. So the Office of Special Counsel, Scott Block, would not intervene. Scott Block was later sentenced to 10 years in prison for his corruption. The Inspector General of ICE, obviously, he wasn't going to help me because he's the one that notified the crook and told him I had initiated the investigation. FLIO, the Attorneys Association, betrayed me, didn't help me. Merit Systems Protection Board was supposed to intervene and stop the illegal retaliation. They never did. So anyway, after I had fired all my missiles available to a national security whistleblower, I went ahead and pitched in my resignation and went overseas and started contracting for the Department of State and then the intelligence community with fellow Spec Ops veterans and people that I knew and trusted, true patriots, where I could regain control over my life and my family's life and make the money that I could make to secure our financial future and get out from underneath that hostility. So, man, that was an ugly experience, but it was a very important one, because now I know what the deep state is. I know their culture. I know how they protect their own. And I got to see all of their antics from the inside as a GS-14 manager and part of the meetings. And I saw how they would try to defend each other when they were exposed. Now I understand this beast that's overthrowing our country and destroying it. So God let me suffer through that, because it was a priceless education. I wouldn't trade it for anything now that I understand why God put that in my path. So I'm not sorry about it. And yeah, it was expensive. It cost me my retirement benefits and pension, all that. But some things money can't buy. So now I understand how Satan is really utilizing corruption to destroy everything we hold precious and sacred, and understand what weak men will do for those positions of wealth and power. So That's kind of that journey. Then I started, when I was overseas contracting for the intelligence community, I was home about half the time. And when I was home between deployments in the war zones, I was doing film and television as a way to make more money and stay home for longer periods between deployments. And I did shows like Top Shot on History Channel, Rhino Wars for Animal Planet over in Africa, Gunny Time with Arlie Ermey, Sniper Deadliest Missions, Top Guns, and Deadliest Tech, Spec Ops, a lot of those types of shows. I made a movie with Casper Van Dien called Army Dog, and man, just had a lot of fun with a lot of good people doing good projects. I turned a lot down. I turned down a lot more than I took because I didn't find them honorable projects. But the ones that I did, I'm glad that I did, and they were fun.
Oh, that's great, Craig. And I remember Top Shot is when I first noticed you, and I said, "Wow, this is." I thought you did a great job in Top Shot. It was a great show, and we were talking a little bit before on the air. And the woke word and Discovery Channel just destroyed it. What did you enjoy Top Shot? Was that you like
I
that?
did. And you know what I really enjoyed about it? I enjoyed working with the shooters because I'd been blessed with so much training, and I'd have had millions of dollars spent training me to shoot everything and get really good at it. And I was grateful for that. And I like sharing that with other people who care to learn. And so it felt nice that a lot of these shooters, although many of them can outshoot me in different ways, there was always something that I could contribute and help them. And I enjoyed that process. So they're good people. I loved them. And the relationships were good. So being able to train them on the show was fun. But I think even more fun than that for me was they had me doing a lot of the slow motion. That's a lot of the glamour shots where you see the bullet come whizzing by the camera and or the bullet hitting the target and the target beginning to explode, or the shell casing bounce around in the ejection port and flying out of the weapon. They had me doing a lot of those things because I could do it well and I could do it in one take where they wouldn't have to film it multiple times. And there's a whole thing where when you're filming at high speed, you need a lot of sunlight. So they do those types of shots usually at high noon. And they would stand around me with a bunch of mirrors and panels, and I swear they were trying to fry me. So I would have all these layers of sunscreen. And it was really funny because it was so hot. It was an extreme type of capture of the footage, but it was fun because it came out so beautifully. The artists that run those phantom cams and the editors are just great, man. So those guys that did that, I just fell in love with them. We just had a fun working relationship, the camera crews, and just capturing those shots. And that's the first time that kind of thing had really been done to that scale. And so we got to be part of that process, and we just really, really loved it. Sometimes we'd blow up targets that would almost hit me, and they'd put me out there, and they'd all hide behind the truck, shoot that blade target. Sawman, let's see what it looks like. It would shatter like a grenade, and the stuff would fly for hundreds of yards, and they're all ducking, and they're like, "Sawman, are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm still here," but it was just fun, man. So yeah, I enjoyed all of it. I did. I did.
That was a magical time, and it was that was those were that was some great television until the woke monsters destroyed it and just drained the
Yeah.
life out of it.
Yeah. Well, I had been talking, before we started Top Shot, there was a series of meetings, and I was one of their producers. They didn't acknowledge that or pay me as such. But looking back on it now, I was really one of the executive producers because I was helping find them weapons and venues and vehicles and ammo and helping them conceptualize the different challenges and stuff like that. And what I was driving them to do, because of the initial description said extreme physical challenges and these kinds of things, and I thought, well, that's mine to win because I could win that whole thing because I'm really experienced at that, and I love the process. And the more challenges you connect together, the faster I get, and the further ahead of my competitors I get. So, and the grand prize was $100,000. And I'm like, well, I could use $100,000 right now, like you wouldn't believe. So, I was telling them what types of challenges and things, and what they did was very, very minimal on the physical challenge side. It was a lot more simple than I understood it to be. And I conceptualized some grand obstacles and challenges that they didn't follow up with. Well, after all 5 seasons of Top Shot had finished, they went to reconfigure and take my contributions, my concept, and make the bigger physical challenges and the more demanding challenges where you have to switch from one weapon to the next, to the next, to the next, in different distances and those kinds of things that I'd been contributing all along. They're like, "We're going to listen to you now, and this whole new season is going to be more your world, your concept." I'm like, "That's going to be great." And they pitched it, but by then Hollywood didn't want firearms on TV in any positive light, any safe aspect or any recreational aspect. That just the woke crowd on the political left just wanted to kill that depiction. They want to kill that that reality of 99.999% of the people that enjoy firearms do it responsibly and safely and recreationally. They don't want that. They want to just depict a firearm as an act of murder and a weapon of war and destruction and help demonize them so that they could have the excuse to disarm the law-abiding populace so that they can overthrow us with the Marxism that they're after. So it's all political, and that's the reason Top Shot didn't get picked up for more seasons and more a bigger, grander version of the show. It's tragic, but that's the backstory.
Yeah, what a disappointment. And I think the grand master of all this is just Discovery, that there was a number of like independent networks and shows, and they just took them over and just, yeah, it just, they wokeified everything, and yeah, they just destroyed it.
Look, John, if you're going to sell tyranny to a populace, you need a lot of deceit. That means you're going to have to buy up the newspapers. You're going to have to buy up Hollywood. You have to buy up the radios. They've done that. You know, they've done that. And that's part of what we're witnessing. You know, the loss of a lot of the quality content of entertainment. And now we have just junk because it's the grinding down of our moral fabric, of the strength of the backbone of our nation. They're going after the culture. And there's a lot of deception. So they're trying to sell that Marxist tyranny, and that's why they have to spend so many billions of dollars trying to buy up all their airwaves and desperately control the input that we get, the programming that we get, so that we'll be willing to take the slavery, really the type of slavery, without a fight. So unfortunate, but it's important that everybody understand the game.
Yeah, that's bad. We just got back this morning from we did a drive out to Arizona, and you mentioned about some of your work in Southern Texas, and you know that it's that, I think it's route was it I-10 from Dallas out to El Paso, and you go through Midland and that beautiful oil country just love to see that totally unleashed with the November can't come fast enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, Craig, thank you so much here. We're just about done with this segment. Thank you for your service. Thank you for putting up with both in the uniform. Just thank you for your great service in uniform and in civil service. One real quick thing. Air Marshals, now you don't get the miles for flying, correct?
Yeah, they wanted to make sure we didn't benefit from all the work. Yeah. You get a few, you know, sky miles and get a discount on flights. So I wanted to make sure that never happened for us. So yeah, it was illegal for us to enjoy that.
Yeah. I worked on a special project with some air marshals, and I said, well, you guys must get a bazillion miles. Like, nope, we get zero, nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, what a bummer. Okay. Well, Craig, and you go, is it Sawman or Buzzsaw? I'm sorry. What is it?
Most of my friends call me Sawman or Craig. Yeah.
Okay. And just, we got like 20 seconds. How did you get that honorific
title? It's nothing scary. It's just a play on my last name, Sawyer, my buddies. And growing up in high school and even in elementary school, I started playing around with my name. And Sawman was one of the main ones that they would call me. So that's where it came from. Just a nickname.
That's a great one. That's a great one. All right. Well, thank you so much, Craig. We'll be right back, everyone. We'll be right back on the National Security Hour. Very special guest, Craig Sawyer, and just a great American all around. And we're going to get right back to it in the next segment.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Now, George Washington once encouraged us to animate and encourage each other and show the whole world that a free man contending for liberty on his own ground is superior to any slavish mercenary on earth. That's exactly what we do, as you'll see when you visit AmericaOutLoud.news. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Back, Colonel Rhett John, the National Security Hour with Craig Sawyer, just all around great American. And Craig, in addition to Top Shot, I really started kind of following you and watching your work. And I'm almost a little embarrassed. I mean, I did 40 years in uniform as a civilian for the U.S. government. I'm embarrassed that I didn't understand this topic earlier. And it's about human trafficking, and you really helped educate me on this, what was going on, and you really opened my eyes, because I saw a lot of things that were going on, like open borders. And I just came back from Arizona, just absolute mayhem, and it's human trafficking. But please tell us about your journey and your participation, because I think you were really one of the real great ones to really point this out and identify this as a sin, just horrible, sinful behavior, and oftentimes enabled by our own corrupt government. So please tell us about this.
Well, look, John, don't beat yourself up. Even as a colonel, I mean, you understand as well as anybody, our national defense systems are compartmentalized for good reason, so that if one part is compromised, the rest is not automatically compromised. In addition, so look, I'd worked in the intelligence community. I'd served at the highest level of counterterrorism, tier one level, and I've had a TSSCI clearance for over 30 years and 6 different agencies before it was over with. And I didn't know about child trafficking. I knew that there was such a thing as child trafficking, but I didn't know it was prevalent in the United States until a friend of mine that I'd met with, and he was from the CIA. And he said, Craig, the area that you and I had grown up with in just north of Houston had become the hottest spot, the epicenter, really, of child sex trafficking in the continental United States. And it was very upsetting because we were smoking cigars. There's another friend from MI6 from the UK that was there, and a couple guys from a couple other agencies. And we were just catching up and visiting. And my friend's letting me know about this. And I thought, well, how can that happen when our culture is so counter to that? Like, we're good and decent people here. We love children. And he said, well, most people don't know that they literally run some of these child brothels out of nice neighborhoods of homes that, you know, the next door neighbor literally doesn't even have any idea what's going on there. because people will come in and out in the dark of night. So he started letting me know about it and how large a scale. Literally, I saw that it was industrial scale. And I realized at that point, I'm like, okay, this is a covert operation, but it's run domestically here. Who's running this at industrial scale inside our continental United States? And that can only be our federal government. Nobody runs anything at industrial scale without the IRS knowing about it. I'm sorry. It's just, you can't open a lemonade stand without them knocking on and wanting their 5 cents, right? From your 25 cent lemonade sale. And so I realized, oh man, that there's a lot of top cover that's covering this. We have a lot of corruption. And yeah, the cartels, the Mexican drug cartels are moving children. And now MS-13, the Crips, the Bloods, a lot of the lower level gangbanger criminal organizations are selling children. Parents are selling their children in some cases, and even children selling each other and even themselves in some cases. So there's a lot of different ways that children are being harmed and a lot of different motives for it. But when you look at the Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell intel collection operation and the fact that none of their clients have been revealed or arrested, you realize there's a lot of corruption, because otherwise that would have been splattered everywhere and there'd been a lot of arrests. If our DOJ was acting in good faith and serving we the people, there would have been dozens, if not hundreds, of arrests. But there's been none, not one, zero. They won't even talk about it anymore. Quickly. And Epstein is dead. Well, maybe he is. Maybe he killed himself. Maybe he didn't. Maybe they snatched him out of there. I don't know. We weren't there, but it just is suspicious as all get out. So I'm like, okay, that didn't happen. Whatever they're telling us there didn't happen. And that's my instinct to it. But it shows that there's a high level of top cover and cover up. So that means a lot of corruption. And so I realized that exposing that is the best thing. The best thing that we, the people, can do against a covert operation against us in our own territory is to expose the covert operation. We call it mission compromise. So I mean to compromise child trafficking in the United States, and I've been doing it for all I'm worth for 7 years now. And that means to expose it, to shine the light on it, to ruin it, to tear away their level of top cover of secrecy that allows them to operate with impunity. They're doing whatever they want right now, selling as many children, harming as many children as they want, and making more money in criminal revenue than all pro sports combined. So what does that look like? That's not a small operation, folks. So I set out to film a documentary, Contraland, and expose it. And I just wanted to film it. And I went to all my friends and the film and television industry, and they all shined me on and said, yeah, that's God's work. We'll do that absolutely all day long. And 3 years later, none of them helped me. So I realized they were lying to me. They just didn't have the moral courage to say it. And that Hollywood industry is rancid with corruption and pedophilia, and nobody was going to help me there. So we went to go crowdfund a documentary to expose it. And big tech started undermining me. And, trying to seize our funds, trying to delete our accounts for crowdfunding. It was just bad. That was my nasty wake-up call that big tech in Silicon Valley is rife with pedophilia and child trafficking. We know a lot more about them now that confirms all that. But the first way that they showed me that they're hostile to child safety is what they did attacking our crowdfunding for Contraland. So I ended up having to found a nonprofit org, 501c3 nonprofit org, just to rally the funds to make a documentary to alert the populace, to make the cultural change, to stand up for the children, to help end all the child rape and child trafficking. So I'm like, wow, what level of betrayal and hostility and obstacle is there in front of me to just have people stop harming children? That's been a disgusting and despicable journey to navigate and see how many people don't want this told. But so we did. I founded Veterans for Child Rescue. We are a 501c3. Our website's v4cr.org. Please go there and learn as much as you can. We have all kinds of tools there to empower you and allow you to learn what's going on. Our documentary Contraland is linked there, and so many other things, friends, allies, assets, all that kind of stuff. So we made Contraland. A lot of the big platforms wouldn't air it. And so Daystar Television Network, thank God, bless them. They aired it to 90 million households in the U.S. and Canada in 2020. So 2020, right during the height of COVID and that whole debacle. So it got out there. A lot of people saw it. And so now we've offered it up for free so everybody can just get and be empowered by it. And then while we were filming it, we realized we could run, because I was a federal criminal investigator, law enforcement know that I'm well-trained and can be trusted. And we run joint sting operations with federal and local law enforcement, and we arrest child predators. And we've got 26 child predator arrests with a 100% conviction rate and 17 more warrants to arrest those. And so we're at it. And we're training law enforcement. We're training other allies. And we've got social media campaigns. We've got a radio show and a TV show, both called Defending Our Children. Again, those are linked on our website as well. We have all these different experts on just talking about different ways that the children are in harm's way and how we, the people, can do something about it just to make it safer for our precious and little, pure and innocent children. So, you know, we've got NASCAR placement and billboards all across the country that people help us with and donate. And I go to speak to churches and public events and seminars. And, you know, there's quite a bit that we do. And we're a small team, but we're just fighting every day to try to ruin child trafficking in the United States. We're trying to ruin it for the predators. And, man, as we've started investigating deeper, the larger rings and the higher level of corruption, we see that it's what John F. Kennedy warned us about with the secret societies before they murdered him. Mm-hmm. And we're really seeing that these of the higher level cult groups, that really what you have, John, are weak-charactered men and women who are just selfish and they're after their own wealth and power. And they'll do these weak-charactered ones will do anything to get it. Like if I asked you, would you go beat up that old lady for $1 million? You'd probably say, no, and what's wrong with you? Some people would do it, right? So we've got these people, they'll do anything for the wealth and power, and they want to be in these secret societies. Mm-hmm. And by becoming members of these secret societies, they can get in place on the boards of big organizations, of key members of different agencies. They can even be made czars or whatever by a corrupt administration and put in places they have no business, but they've sold themselves into this secret society, the wicked and literally satanic, in most cases, societies. And they will put each other and place each other in these key positions of wealth, of power, and influence. And they glorify themselves and hook themselves up through that. So what we're learning is the rancid glue that connects all these different secret societies, the corrupt secret societies, which most of them are, otherwise they wouldn't need to be secret, is pedophilia and the child trafficking. And when the heinous things that they do in these witches' covens and these satanic cult groups is satanic ritual abuse. We're talking mm-hmm. about torturing children to death, and many times extended sessions where they prolong the agony because these are highly demonized ceremonies and rituals. It gets very sick and very dark, and I won't drag your audience through it, but just we need to realize that that's what is so prevalent now. And that's where this insatiable lust and greed for more children is driving this trafficking train. And that's why we've abandoned our borders now. And the children are literally being flown to the predators by our federal government now. So the federal government, several different agencies like Health and Human Services are contracting private companies to fly unaccompanied minors from mm-hmm. the border and from other countries without even touching our border deep into our nation. So children, in some cases, are coming across the border without their parents, and no longer are they swabbed with a rapid DNA test to ensure that they're with their biological parents and relatively safe. That's all been abandoned 3 years ago. Immediately, when Joe Biden got in office, no more rapid DNA test, no more development of the border wall. And we've abandoned so many of our security methods. So we've got millions of people being escorted into our nation at a rush. And so the children are taken, they're put on private aircraft and flown deep into our nation. And they are delivered to now many sponsors who are unvetted. We used to vet and do background checks on people who were there to receive children in this way. So they may have been orphanages. They may have been their biological parents or some other, foster parents or something like that, that had some sort of legitimate need to receive, be in receipt of those children. Well, now that's been abandoned. And so we've got national security whistleblowers from HHS and other agencies testifying before Congress, like Tara Lee Rodas, who are saying, look, man, we're delivering children now, unaccompanied children to unvetted sponsors. So there's a young man named Carlos that used to work for HHS, and he had to blow the whistles because he went to his supervisor saying, I'm delivering truckloads of children to people I know are predators, and I know are cartel members and traffickers and rapists. And his supervision basically told him, hurry up and get back to work. There's more. Like, keep up with the pace of delivering these unaccompanied minors to unvetted sponsors. Go ahead and take the defenseless children and put them into the hands of their rapists, because there's a schedule to keep. So hurry up. And so, folks, when we are allowing the defilement and the destruction of children to the tune of millions of children a year now, at industrial scale, God judges nations on the whole by what they allow, not just individuals. Yes, he judges us individually, but he also, if you read the Bible, he judges nations. And I brace to consider what the impact will be if we don't put a stop to this. So we need to know it. Yes, it's ugly, and yes, it's emotionally painful information to bear. But we are the adults, and no one else is coming to save the children. So we have to all stand up in unison and say, leave the children alone. This industrial scale trafficking of the children has to stop. This government-sponsored trafficking is not okay with our tax dollars. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's happening that's just off the map of anything morally or ethically acceptable in any nation, in any decent human being. And it's allowed because there's that spiritual top cover, and that's that top cover of corruption that murders witnesses, that censors truth on social media, that doesn't put out the truth on the mainstream news media, that's not educating our youth through the educational system, that condones it through the psychological healthcare system. So many of our systems have been corrupted and programmed with the acceptance module of this evil. And we have all of that to clean up. That's all part of the drain in the swamp. So we, the citizens, you know, although it's not comfortable information to learn, it's empowering. And it's opportunity for we, the people, to stand up and realize our power and start flipping some tables over and say, no more, no more. This is not okay. You sick SOBs, this has to go. And we're going to make sure. And if you, sir or ma'am, in your elected position of authority or representation of us, whether a judge or DA or attorney general or a congressman, senator, what have you, if you don't serve our will, we're going to throw you out and replace you very quickly with someone who will serve our best interest. And we want the children protected. We have that opportunity. That's the good news. And we have that power. That's the good news. But we have to really unite and assert ourselves to make sure that we are heard, and that not that we're dismissed through any sort of corruption and manipulation of this electoral process, we have to ensure that no one can cheat and that there is transparency and legitimacy. So there's got to be integrity in our system. So there's a lot of work for us to do. Again, it's a beautiful opportunity, man. When you can't swing your jacket without hitting something that needs fixing, that's great opportunity. So
yeah, no, amen, Craig. That's awesome. And again, you really taught me a lot about this topic. And I used to have to work with a lot of the Obama politicals, and they would talk and reference things that I would say, what are they referencing? What are they talking about? And I think there was a lot of after hours activities that they were referring to. These are some sick people. And I also, one of the places you mentioned north of Houston, I'm assuming you mean Harris County, which is one of the bad places that's trying to topple Texas, is all the corruption in Harris County.
Yes.
That's bad. Michael Yon and Ann Vandersteel identified a big facility in Harris County. And I go, well, this looks like NGOs have put this together as almost a holding compound.
Yeah, it's a forward operating base of criminal invaders is what we have now. So yeah. Imagine our federal government allowing forward operating bases of our enemy. And I'm not saying that people that come into our country illegally are our enemy. I'm just saying it's not legal and we don't know what their motives are if we don't vet them, right? And this was very upsetting to me a decade or 15 years ago when a real estate agent, a friend of ours back east, was saying that she knew of Al-Qaeda training camps in the continental United States. And the FBI had admitted that. And she had to deal with one of them. They were scouting out land. And she's like, what are you guys doing? They're like, yeah, it's not your concern. We just need to buy a bunch of land. And they're doing whatever they want there. And I don't know how closely we're observing them, but the FBI's excuse for allowing this all over our country is, well, they haven't broken any laws. I'm like, my God, they won't break any laws until they detonate a nuke in the stadium for the Super Bowl or something. Like, do you not understand terrorism? Like, this is such childish foolishness. Like, nobody's that ignorant, right? Nobody's that naive. And they've been allowing this now for decades. Our enemy is setting us up here.
Yeah, absolutely. Craig, we're going to come right back into this. Everyone, this has been great. Thank you so much, Craig. We'll be right back on the National Security Hour.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
We're back for the last segment with Craig Sawyer, just all around great American. And Craig, just a riveting middle segment there on the trafficking. And yeah, I mean, I used to hear about these things like, oh, it's this Pizzagate thing and, you know, Epstein. And then I realized, oh, my, this is true. And I think it was Epstein, his cellmate, when he perished and met his maker. As you said, we all will do that. I think it was a dirty New York cop. And if you've ever seen pictures of this guy was, holy smokes, was unbelievable. And they put Epstein in with this guy. And then they can't figure out why he ended up dead. There is something going on here. It was so, you know, You know, what'll they always say? Oh, conspiracy theorist. Well, you know what? As it turns out, the conspiracy theory people have been correct about 97, 98, 99% of the time. You know, biolabs in Ukraine. I said, oh, come on, that doesn't exist. Come on. And then guess what? It did. It did exist. It was right on the U.S. Embassy Ukraine website. And I started going through legislation and I'm going, oh my, it started going south in 2005 with Nunn-Lugar update. That's when we started creating all these bio labs. And I didn't mention this to you, but I was actually a Trump appointee in the first term. I was never onboarded because the career lawyer, really slow rolled my package for 18 months. But yeah, I was going to Department of Energy, and probably underneath me would have been this DOE biolab program, which I didn't even know existed. So this human traffic thing, it exists. It exists. It's all this stuff is bad. And yes, it's uncomfortable. But as I've gotten to follow you more, understand it more, this is a real issue. And we're dealing with depraved people who will take advantage of innocent children. It's horrible.
Well, look, we have the U.S. Marshals Service that'll arrest hundreds at a time, sometimes like over 100, even 200 traffickers at a time, and arrest 70 or 100 children at a time. You've got HSI that does quite a bit. The Bureau does some counter-trafficking operations. And anybody that pitches in to help, man, we celebrate that. But there should, you know, if you have the second largest criminal enterprise on earth and the fastest growing one, and it may be the biggest criminal enterprise by now, because we don't know, because it's so dark and so depraved and so secret, it's hard to measure it because it's hard to track the stats because there's so little enforcement being done against it because so many people are padding their personal empowerment through complicity. So even still, we see mass arrests. So it's not a matter of whether or not it's a real issue. It's just a matter of how much it's going to be revealed to us. And you could tell there's not a lot of discussion about it in the news. So there, you know, there are agencies to deal with crimes that are far smaller than this one. And there should be at least a task force, you know, a big national task force to deal with child trafficking, yet there's not one. And so it's concerning to see the lack of intent to deal with this. And if you look at anything that people call a conspiracy theory that you know to be a real issue, anything that's attacking our nation. So let's go to fifth generation warfare. And that model of attacking and overthrowing the United States without firing a single shot. So attacking the culture through information warfare, right? Mm-hmm. It's culture war. And Yuri Bezmenov from the KGB warned us very, very eloquently about it. The 45 communist goals for overthrowing the United States without firing a single shot were read before Congress in 1963. We should, as a nation, know what our enemies are doing. Yet most of the citizens are still not aware. Why? Because we're suffering from so much corruption internally that our warning system is not effectively alerting our populace to it. So our populace remains in slumber, and that's fatal. That's a fatal condition, and we have to wake up. It's no different than being on a sinking ship or in a house fire. You got to wake up and do something about the threat, or you will perish. And as a nation, we are in a sinking ship. And so I would say it's the situation where we need to realize that whether you don't like the appearance of child trafficking and the apparent cover up, or if you don't like what's going on maybe with Big Pharma and some remedies that they claim for different illnesses that seem to be miraculously so prevalent now, and pending financial doom and collapse, or the destruction of our energy system, or anything that you're watching, if you're educated on this fifth generation warfare and you're seeing is meant to destroy our beloved USA. It'll never, ever, ever be fully admitted. It'll never be clarified officially. Why? Because it's part of a covert operation to overthrow our nation. And it needs to be exposed and identified and admitted so that we, the people, can rise up in unison against it. But I would say the reason it's not is the corruption has gone that far. So many people have been bought out and turned against their own nation for a dollar or a position that the full brunt of the attack is allowed to fall on we, the people. And it's heartbreaking. We can do something about it, but we've got to get people back in positions of representation who will fight for us and act in our best interests in good faith. So I would say, you know, there's a lot of things that we can see are fact that they're just made still to pretend like they're conspiracy theory and there's nothing to be seen here. It's gaslighting. And if you realize that ultimately what's the motive behind this overthrow of the United States and the rest of the globe, this is being done to Europe too, and a bunch of other countries, Australia, all of them are under attack. Ultimately, you get to, if you research it far enough, it is spiritual in its origin. It is ultimately a spiritual conflict between the forces of good and evil. The kingdom of heaven and hell are at war, and what we're witnessing is the physical ramification. So that's why anything that makes our nation strong is literally under attack. The family unit, patriotism, the faith, and Jesus Christ, you know, our founding fathers, our constitution, all of it, you know, our education that makes us strong, all of it's under attack. Our health is under attack. Why? Because that's how you overthrow a nation when you can't beat them with tanks, planes, and guns. You destroy the strength, and that strength is our culture. And so it's frustrating to see that none of these things are really fully admitted, but that should be an indicator that it is covert and the intent is utterly hostile.
A lot of our elite are absolutely complicit. And they'll get upset and, you know, oh, you know, you're just using these terms, globalist, conspiracy, come on. No, it is real. And yes, we should come on and wake up. One little quick thing it relates to this evil nature is Nickelodeon is going through kind of a shellacking, which they deserve. I never felt comfortable, even when our first child was growing up in the early 90s. I never felt comfortable with Nickelodeon. And I look back and I'm like, oh, you know, we actually would go to Florida and go to Nickelodeon studios. And I just didn't feel comfortable with what was going on. And then sure enough, what was it? It's nothing but a child trafficking operation. And so I'm hoping this erupts even more and rips it apart, because it all started with that safe space. We need to get in between you and your children. We need a safe space, because some of those kids just aren't, you know, they're environments that are not safe for them. So we need to be able to talk to them. Never ever trust anybody who wants unfettered access to your children.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, the Bible says that, you know, even Jesus said it, that Satan, he's the father of lies. And when he lies, he speaks his native tongue. So anyone who follows his ways is following him and not the father, not the creator. So we're being lied to about everything, and beware of the deceivers. When you have somebody gaslighting you and lying to you and saying they need to take control of your children, that's something you need to see as highly suspicious. The danger light should go off in your head. Like, hey, never let anyone, I agree, John, never let anyone have unsupervised access to your children. And because that's what a lot of the predators want. They want to be school teachers. They want to be scout leaders. They want to be Sunday school teachers. They want to be big brothers and big sisters. They want to be anybody that they can to have unsupervised access to your children. They will abuse these honorable positions of public trust to carry out their predatory lust against the children. So we have to beware, and knowledge is power though, right? So protect the little ones.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you brought up the term fifth generation warfare. We're achieving. I mean, you and I are a little bit older. We remember the Cold War. I came into service in 1983. I mean, it was us. It was them. We were right. They were wrong. And you know, Reagan said we're going to put them out of business and we're going to win. And hooray! But they're back, and they're back with the Chinese communists. And that really is where I pivoted off the war on terror. Really, I would say almost about 2007, 2008, and started learning and understanding and pivoting toward the Chinese threat. And the Chinese are they're leveraging all this craziness, the child trafficking. And I spent some time last fall down in Panama, kind of observing, and it's human trafficking on a mass scale. And one thing I don't think we've mentioned this, and I think this is really important, is there's a lot of nonprofits, and I hate to say it, even church groups that are making money off of the flying in of these of the human trafficking, and this is shameful that we would have church groups doing this.
Yep. American Catholic NGOs in Mexico trafficking children. And they're in the pipeline to make a lot of money doing it. It's sad. Yeah. It's an abomination. It breaks my heart and it angers me.
Yeah, we need to have more accountability in this area. I mean, a lot of us who are saved believers, we say, well, you know, we don't want to be attacking church groups, but No, we got to point out, you know, we got to point out and bring it out into the light what is going on. And there is church groups that are making big money. All the illegals being flown in, being brought in, there's big money along with this.
Yeah. Well, false witness is attacking. Mm-hmm. Speaking the truth is not attacking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, transparency is a must.
Yeah.
Anybody that's legitimate welcomes transparency.
Yeah.
And so if they can't bear for people to know what they're doing, something is very, very wrong. And we know that a lot of the Catholic NGOs that are down in Mexico, American NGOs that are down in Mexico, are literally trafficking children. It's and some on our side of the border too. It's disgusting, really.
Yeah, this is wrong. Hey, Craig, this has just been an absolute wonderful session. Definitely going to have you back more. So where can everybody get to you, your grid coordinates, so they can get more Craig Sawyer, understand about your work? And so please let everybody know how to get to you, and so they can follow you and things like that.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And it's Veterans for Child Rescue's website is That's Victor 4, the number 4, Charlie Romeo. So V4CR.org is our website. We've got that short version of it to make it easy. So V4CR.org. Our documentary Contraland is linked to that, which is a different site, and so many tools and everything there. So that V4CR.org is the homepage that links you to just about everything we do. And a lot of our allies as well. So we appreciate the exposure. We appreciate your prayers, your financial support, folks, because we're a nonprofit org. And man, we got merch. We got Rescue Roast Coffee and all kinds of stuff to just help us stop people from harming children. So we appreciate everything. I appreciate your voice, John, and the ability to come on and speak about it. And we just want to make a safer place for children. So if we can accomplish that, we'll have won.
Oh, thank you, Craig. Been an honor having you on the show. This is great. We're going to have you back so many more times. And thank you so much for your service for God and country. Thank you so much, Craig.
Thank you, sir. God bless.
God bless you. Everyone, this has been Colonel Rhett John, National Security Hour, with special guest Craig Sawyer. Thank you so much, everyone.